So we're here on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis at the beginning of the ninth perek. Just to reiterate what we established until now, we had on the one hand the Mishnah that establishes that the Gazan is Kone B'Shinui only if he makes Kelim. And there was a step in between because that was called Shifu L'Shafos. So the Gemara answers according to Abaye that in our Mishnah he stole Nisarim. Nisarim means they were already boards that were already smoothed out. So his Shinui was to take it from Nisarim to the state of Kelim. And that doesn't preclude the fact that if he took it from the raw state and he made it into Meshupim, if he did Shipui, that would also constitute a Shinui. But Abai points out that there are two different levels of Shinui. One is Shinui Doraisa, that the Torah itself recognizes that Shinui. That's called a Shinui She'eno Chozer. It's a permanent irreversible change. And that's the case of taking it from its raw state to the state of Shipui, to make it into, from logs, to make it into planed wood. As opposed to the case of taking it from planed wood up to the state of Kelim, that's already reversible because you can take it apart. And that's the chiddush that the, according to Abai, that our mission is presenting, that there's something called Shinui Derabbanan. And the other day we were wondering, are there possible nafkiminis between Shinui Doraisa, where the Gazlan is Kona, the object that he stole on a Torah level, as opposed to Shinui Derabbanan, where he's only Kona Derabbanan. Because maybe Kinyanim Derabbanan are effective for Dinim Derabbanan, but they're not meaningful for Dinim Doraisa. Okay, that's what we touched on last time. Then we had another answer, and that was the answer. Who gave the second answer after Abaye? That was Rav Ashi, no? Yeah, and Rav Ashi said that there's no stira between our Mishnah that seems to assume that Shifui is not a Kinyan, is not a Shinui, and yet certainly the Brice assumes that Gozal Eitzim V'Shifon is Mishalim Kivshas Hagzel, which means that he is Kona with the Shifui. And he basically says that there are different realities, there are different scenarios. In some scenarios, you can completely obviate the need for Shifui. Like, for example, he has the case of Buchani, and Buchani doesn't require that middle stage of Shifui. And therefore, even if Shinui is Kona, if Shifui itself constitutes a Shinui, it doesn't mean that our Mishnah contradicts that. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where we left out Shifui. There was no need for Shifui. Or, for example, in the case of Namti, which is a kind of tzemer, if he takes the wool and he makes begadim into it, in some cases, he doesn't even need the process of limun. Why? Because it's Namti. Namti is a case where he completely circumvents the need for limun. But the mission doesn't deny that limun itself is a shinui. So let's just see where we're up to. What we want to start with today is a line that's literally halfway through the page. The first word in the line is Hadar, if you see that.
I also have to remind you about Tariq Dalit.
That hopefully we'll get to. The truth is we need 2 hours today. We only have an hour, or less than that. So I don't know how we're going to manage that, but we'll try. There's some like Yiddish Yerim are excellent at what we call time management. They know how to exactly start and end at the same time. I'm very bad at time management. But in any event, does everybody have the place? If you're below the Tosfos, the Maskil Ha, about six lines in, V'libud mihavi shinui. So in other words, until now, we've been assuming, based on the first brisa that we quoted, that libun is a shinui. In other words, when you bleach the wool and you whiten it up, that itself is a shinui. And in fact, that's a shinui she'eno chozer. It's irreversible, and therefore it's a shinui even doraisa, according to Abai's structure. But now we have a Mishnah in Masechta Chulin. And that Mishnah seems to assume that, on the contrary, libun is not a shinui. Correct? The libun mi'avi shinui, could we accept this brisa that libun does constitute a shinui for a mini? What are we going to do with a contradictory Mishnah? And the subject of the Mishnah is the mitzvah of reishis hagez, which means that the first shearings of his sheep have to be given a certain shear. It's called a matana yafa. He has to give a certain significant amount. The Gemara's whole discussion, chulin, what constitutes a matana yafa? It has to be enough that he can make one beged out of it. That's how much wool he has to give to the kohen. Now, which kohen does he give it to? Well, that's true for all matnas kuna. Which kohen do you give it to?
Whoever you want.
Whoever you want, right? That's called tovas hanah. You know, the Israel gets the pleasure of deciding which kohen. Now, there is something called, you remember, makire kahuna, where he constantly and consistently gives his matanas to the same kohen. And there's a whole debate in the sugin gittin whether or not that kohen has rights based on the consistency. It's like, I remember when I had the bris of my third son, so Yossel was the famous moil then. He had to tie it to me because what happened is my father-in-law came for the third bris, and my father-in-law is a belzer, so he wanted to have the bris in bells, and the Rebbe does the chituch, and then the Rebbe's moil does the rest of the meal, the priya and so forth. So Yossel had to tie it to me because I had taken it for my first two sons as a moel, not for the third. So it was makire moelim, you know, instead of makire kahuna. So I tried to defend myself by saying that for makire kahuna you need a minimum of three, and I had only recognized him twice, not the third time. I don't know if he ever forgave me for it. I don't know. They say that his son, whose name is Moshe, has done already more brisin than Yossel.
Really?
That's what they say, and it's not even nitfas. I mean, because Yossel did so many brisim, and I know everyone. You know, everyone did a bris by Yossel. So we have a mitzvah of Reishis Hagedis, and it's interesting how the concept of shinui plays a role in Reishis Hagedis, not in one way, but in two different ways. First of all, let's assume that he was chayiv in Reishis Hagedis. And now he does a hafrasha. I mean, that itself is an issue, whether there is a din of hafrasha in Reish Sagez or not. But let's assume there's a din of hafrasha, that's Rashi Shita in Reish Sagez. So he's mafrish a certain shear of tzemer, and he designated for Reish Sagez as matnos kuni. He hasn't yet delivered it. And then he makes a shinui in the Reish Sagez. So it already is Reish Sagez, but he makes a shinui on it. In a sense, again, don't take me literally, he's stealing from the Kohanim. Because again, at the very moment he does this hafrash and he designates it for the Kohanim, it belongs to the Kohanim.
He gets it back. The Kohanim at large, not any particular Kohanim.
Okay, good, great. So that's called Mamon Shein Lo Tofen. But leaving out that concept for a moment, as far as Shevet Kahuna is concerned, he's really stealing from Shevet Kahuna. And what did he do? He made a shinui in it. In such a way that he was kona with a shinui. That's the first case of the relevancy of shinui, the role that shinui plays in Reish Sagez. There's a second halacha that even before he became chayev in Reish Sagez, he needs to do a certain amount of rechelim, you know, a certain amount of sheep that he has to shear, and there's going to be a halacha of tziruf, which means that it's got to be one shearing of five different rechelos according to Beis Hillel. And if in between, let's say the first and the second and the third, etc., etc., he did a shinui, then he's not chayev at all in Reishis, I guess, because he never had the shear of five rechelos. Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. So what does it say in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that the Israel has to give his Reishis Hagez to one of the Kohanim, lo hispik litnolo, ad shetzvo, and he didn't get a chance, he hasn't yet delivered the Reishis Hagez to the Kohen, and yet he already what? He already dyed it. Right? D-Y-E. So, potter, he's potter from giving it to the Kohen because he's kone bishinui. Okay, so that's the case of tzvo. Later on, we're going to see that this is not so simple. There are going to be many indications that to dye something and change its color is not a shinui. Because again, it still is the same object, essentially. It just has a different color. But in any event, libno velo tzvo, chayev. So even though the ratio of this Mishnah establishes that tzeva is a shinui, but libun is not a shinui. Now we have an interesting stira, because the first price that we had earlier established that gazal tzemer v'libnam is mishalmitmei, Shasak Zeh, which means that he was Kone with Libun. By bleaching the wool, he was Kone B'Shinui. And we already pointed out that's a Shinui D'Oraisa. It's an upgraded Shinui. It's Shinui She'eno Chozel L'Briyos. So in here, the Mishnah says with regard to Reish Sagez, even after Libun, the Yisrael still remains Chayev in the midst of Nesinas Reish Sagez. And he wasn't Kone B'Shinui. So what is it? Is Libun Kone B'Shinui or is it not Kone B'Shinui? And here we have a steer between our Braisa and the Mishnah in Chulin. Now, as far as Tzvo is concerned, the Mishnah in Chulin establishes that Tzvo is a Kinyan Shinui, correct? And therefore, he's potter from the Sina. So I was wondering the following. I'm just thinking out loud for a moment. We have in Mitzvos two concepts that are very similar but are different. One is called bittul aseh, which means that passively I did not fulfill a mitzvah. Like, for example, let's say on Sukkos, I failed to take the dalad minin. That's called a bittul aseh, b'shei v'altaseh, correct? In other words, he omitted the action that he was obligated, he was mandated to do. Then is something called, a high level, bittul aseh b'kum v'aseh. For example, I'm obligated to eat in the sukkah. So if I don't eat at all, let's say the first night of sukkah is just to make life easier for ourselves, that's called bittul aseh b'shev v'al taseh. But what happens if I eat outside the sukkah? So there's a famous Minchas Chinuch, I don't know if you, I mentioned it here a few years ago, the Minchas Chinuch is of the opinion that if I and mevatel an essay b'kum v'aseh through an action, that would constitute an avera. It's not just the omission of a mitzvah, the absence of a mitzvah, it's even an avera. And therefore he wants to suggest that if the Torah had not said that a sukkah gzula was psula, right? Let's say we didn't have, there's a pasuk called lachem v'lo agazul, that if you steal a sukkah, whatever that means, I don't know, karkein and exels, but let's say you could steal a sukkah, and you sat in that sukkah, you would not be yotze. So Tosfos asks Akasha, what do I need that for? There's a general universal principle of mitzvah bar b'avera. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to say, if I only had the principle of mitzvah bar b'avera, then although I cancel my mitzvah if I sit in the sukkah gzula, but I didn't do an avera. I ate in the sukkah. And there's an avera to eat outside the sukkah. So now we need the word lachem. Lachem comes to passel the sukkah. Lachem velo gozel, that it's not a sukkah at all. And the nafkamina is that if he ate his meal in the sukkah gzula, not only does he forfeit the kiyama mitzvah, that we know from the universal halacha of mitzvah bar b'avera, but he even violates an avera because now he ate outside the sukkah. In any event, the Minchas Chinuch claims that there's a high level bittul essay if you do it b'kum v'aseh. I was always wondering, let's say instead of just not taking a lulav, I would take a lulav that's on the table and I would rip it to shreds without picking it up, or I would burn it, you know, with a brenner or something. Maybe that would be, according to Minchas Chinuch, a bittul aseh b'kum v'aseh. That would be an active bittul aseh. So I was just wondering, what would be the status of Yisrael after he's mafresh Reish Sagez, and now he's chayv in the Sina L'Kohen, and now he dyes the wool, which according to the Mishnah Chulin means that the mitzvah of Reish Sagez is completely gone because he was Kone B'Shinui, and Tseva, Tzvo, is a Maisa Shinui. So I was wondering, is that just a bittul aseh? Right? He was chayiv in the midst of Nesina L'Kohen. Now he was mevatel the essay. He never gave it to the Kohen because he died at first. Or is it more than that? Maybe we could upgrade it to the level of an avera. By actively dying the wool, he now has violated a mitzvah saseh b'kum saseh in an active way. I was just thinking out loud if you want to give that some thought. In any event, the language of the Mishnah doesn't support me, because the language of the Mishnah says achitzvo potter, as if to say he's alleviated from his obligation to give this to the Kohen, but it doesn't say that we, you know, for example, this halacha of So the maximum money of my total assets I have to spend for a mitzvah is how much? 20%, right? 1/5. However, to avoid an avera, I have to spend every last dime, every last penny that I own. I feel glima al katra, you know, the shirt off his back. So I was wondering, according to Minchas Chinuch, if it's a bitul aseh b'shevi al taseh, okay, in order to avoid that bitul aseh, I have to spend 1/5. But what happens if it was a bitul aseh b'kuv aseh? Then, according to Minchas Chinuch, that's already an avera. And if it's an avera, then I have to spend my last dime. You know, so I don't know. I was wondering in this case where he was tzovea, whether that's called a kumvas.
Does kavona come into it?
Well, that raises a question, which is a universal machlok between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda about whether or not you need kavona to violate an avera. According to Rav Shimon, even a davar she'eino miskaven is a violation of an avera. According to Rav Shimon, the Dovah Shem Miskaven is potter. However, even Rav Shimon agrees in two cases. What are those two cases? Chalovim Varayos. That in Chalovim Varayos, even if he doesn't have Kavana, the very fact that he has physical pleasure from the Avera, that itself replaces the need for a Kavana in a Maisa Avera. But okay, that's already...
Ready? Let me ask you one question on this Mishnah that is meant, or it's Bryce, I guess. Right here. What, isn't it the Lashon of Lo Yispik sounds a little strange?
Yeah, that's a Mishnah, by the way. Yeah, go ahead.
Lo Yispik sounds strange. Now, Lo Yispik sounds like it came upon him without his wanting to do it. It sounds like he wanted to give the Rishis Agaz, and before he could manage to do it, it somehow got colored. But it doesn't say that.
Right, like Alfie was saying, maybe he didn't do it for Kavana, right?
Yeah, or whatever. Or so one of his workmen came and then dyed it, and he didn't know what was going
to
happen.
Right. It's a good dirk, I don't know. We have to really go through the Mishnah there and all the Mefarshim. If you take a look, the one who's most likely to ask that question is the Tosis Yontif. Whenever you have a dirk on a Lashon Mishnah, go straight to the Tosis Yontif. Gershon, did you want to say something before? No? Okay. So the Gemara says the following: Omar Abayi lo kashi. There's no stira between the Mishnah and Chulin that defines libun as less. That defines libun as less than a shinui, correct? Because he's still chayiv in reish tzegez even after libun. And our brisa that says that the gazlan doesn't have to return the stolen tzemer after he was malabim the tzemer that laid libun is its shinui. Rabbi Shimon v'hara bonon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds, like this first brisa that we covered here, that shinui, that libun is considered a shinui. The Rabbanon deny it, and therefore the Mishnah in Chulin reflects the sheet of the Rabbanon. Desanya we learned in a brisa. Now this Rabbo says the second case of shinui in Reish Tzegez, not the shinui once he was chayav already after the afrasha, but the shinui that undermines the chiyuv even before it emerges. It prevents the chiyuv from being chal. What's the case? So again, as I mentioned earlier, in the Mishnah in Chulin Daf Kuf Hey, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that in order to be chayav in Reish Tzegez, you have to shear off how many different animals? Five. Five is the magic number according to Beis Hill. Beit Shammai, for them, two is enough. They suffice with two. So now, we're talking about a case where in order to establish a chiyuv, Reish Tzegez, you need to shear off five rechelos, correct? And what did he do? Gazizo, he started the process of gizo. Let's say he did the first sheep, if you will, and then before he got to the second, third, fourth, and fifth, is tvo ve'arogo. Again, the vav is a little confusing here. It means o arogo, one of the two. He either did this kind of process of threading it or weaving it. Is then ein mitztarif. The wool of the second shearing is not joined with the wool of the first shearing. Why? Because in between, before he got to the fifth, what he's left with is a shearing that's already been woven, if you will, in the most extreme case, arogo, and that cannot be mitztarev with the previous one. In other words, you can be mitzaref wool with wool, but not wool with a beged. You know, it's already been, or with threads, if in the case of tviya. So in other words, he prevents the chiyuv reishis hagez from being chal. The obligation doesn't emerge at all. And the Gemara is making the following equation here. The premise of the Gemara is that if a change in the object is sufficient to be mafkia tziruf, and it disallows, it blocks the ability to integrate the first shearing with the second shearing, that's because of the profound nature of the change in the object, then willy-nilly the same halach is going to apply in the case of a gazlan, where the Torah says, Veishiv zagzeil asher gazal, it has to be kain asher gazal, and whatever shinik qualifies to be mafkia tziruf in reishis hagez between the first rachel and the second, or whatever, the fourth and the fifth, that same shinui would qualify to be mafkia the chiyuv gzela veishiv zagzeila asher gazal. So that's in the case of tvo varogo. Then the braisa goes on and says, what about libno? He didn't do this radical change in the very structure of the wool. He didn't take the wool and make it into threads, spin it, or weave it into a garment. But what did he do? Libno. That's all he did was libun. Oh, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Einu Mitztarif. Rabbi Shimon upgrades libun to the same status as tvo'o, va'arogo. Libno is the third kind of a shinui, which is a full-fledged shinui, and breaks up the tziruf between the first Rachel and the second Rachel. So that Reb Shimon is the one who holds like our brice that shinui and gzela in the case of libun is kona, libun itself qualifies and crosses the threshold of enough of a shinui. Right? Libun is enough for shinui to qualify as a shinui, and therefore the gazan is kona v'shinui. He doesn't have to return the tzemer after libun, after he bleaches it. V'chachomim omrim mitztarev. Chachomim reject Reb Shimon, and they say, okay, tvo varogo, that's a radical shinui. It's a whole different object over here. You've really changed the whole nature of the object. Now it's not wool, it's threads. Correct? Now it's not wool, but it's really a woven cloth. However, in the case of libno, all he did was some sort of washing. You know, he threw it into a washing machine and he bleached it. But that's not really a structural change in the object. It's not profound enough of a shinui, and therefore there's a tziruf between the first rachel and the second rachel, the tzemer from number one and the tzemer from number two, and he can now be chayev in reishis hagez according to chachamim, and therefore, in the case of Libun, as we saw it in the Mishnah in Chulin, reflecting the Shita of the Chachamim, that only if the Yisrael was Tzovea, he actually died the Tzemer, then and only then is he Potur, says the Mishnah. But if he was Malabin the Tzemer, he only bleached it, he cleansed it, that's not a Shinui. So according to Abaye, the reconciliation between the Braisa that says that Shinui is Kona and the Mishnah in Chulin that says that Shinui is not Kona is based upon the Machlokas between Reb Shimon and Rabbanon. The Braisa that says Shinui is Kona in the case of Libun, it reflects the authorship of whom? Rabbi Shimon. And the Mishnah in Chulin that says that Libun is not enough to break up the Tziruf and engender a ptur in the shear of Chamesh Rechelos, that reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, and they in fact downgrade the status of Libun. Libun is not a Shinui. Rava Amar Hava Ha Rabbi Shimon, there's no need to assume that the Mishnah in Chulin is authored by the Chachamim, rejecting the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Both the Mishnah in Chulin as well as the Braisa that we started with reflect the Shita that Shinui is a Shinui. Libun does constitute the Shinui. But rather, says Rav, there are two types of Shinui. This is very similar to the answer of Ravashi that we had before about Buchni and Namti. Here too, in the case of processing the raw wool after shearing it, there are two processes. I don't know how you say the plural of process. Processi, maybe? Right? And they are not identical. Lo kasha. Ha dinapte naputze. Ha disarke sruke. Okay. Now, whenever you see a Gemara that says ha and ha, you can already anticipate what? No machlokas rishon. Whenever it says ha v'ha, because the Gemara doesn't spell out which is the ha and which is the other ha. So let's start with Rashi Shita in the sugya. Rashi Shita in the sugya is that the Mishnah is talking about a low case, the Mishnah in Chulin is talking about a low, simple or, shall we say, a non-profound kind of libun. And what does he do in this case of libun? He does a nafte nafutze. Rashi explains that this was not a process of manufacturing. This was a handmade kind of thing. There were no fancy kalim that you used, as opposed to sarke sruke. Sarke sruke means he uses a fancy kind of comb. Again, not the comb that necessarily we would use to comb our hair, but this massive kind of a comb that you use to comb the shearings of wool, and it really takes out all the lint and all the schmutz and so forth and so on. That's a more radical change in the nature of the wool. That's called sruke sruke, according to Rashi. Whereas nefutze nefutze, that's called niputz. Niputz is a lowercase kind of libun in which he does it by hand. He literally pulls out the that separates junk that separates the tzemer from different strands of wool from each other. He literally pulls them out. That's called naftze nifutze. So again, fundamentally, according to Rashi, the premise is that indeed a gazlan can be kone belibun, but it's got to be a more profound kind of libun. When the tzemer was subject, it underwent a process of combing. That's the way Rashi learns the sugya. And that is the case of the Brisa, that the Brisa establishes that if the gazlan took the wool and he subjected it to libun, he no longer returns the wool to its original owner. However, the Mishnah, when it says that he's still chayev in libun, he's still chayev in reish sages, even though he's malabim between one Rachel and the other, that is a case not of sruke sruke, but of nifutze nafitz. And therefore, the Mishnah says that libun is not a shinui. That's Rashi Shita. The problem is the Rambam, because the Rambam says that a gazlan is kone beniputz, which undermines the sheet of Rashi, because Rashi is holding that Niputz is not a sheet. Niputz is a handmade process which is much less profound and radical than the combing with a major object which is called a masrik. Now, if I had time, Rav Osa, which I didn't have time, but if anybody in the room would have time to do this work for me, I'd love to know if this machlokas Rashi and the Rambam is relevant to Hilcha Shabbos, because there are a whole bunch of malachos that deal with taking wool and processing the wool. One of them is called niputz, and the question is whether niputz is an av malacha, but it's a told. Again, I didn't have a chance to research this. There's an entire chapter called Perek Oreg and Shabbos that is dedicated to this. So I wonder how, the repercussions of this machlokes that we're seeing here. In any event, Rashi downgrades niputz. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Perek Beis Milchus Gzela, upgrades the status of niputz. And therefore, niputz is a shinui, and the gazan is kone b'shinui of libun. What kind of libun? A niputz kind of shinui. Says the Lecha Mishnah, then by process of elimination, in the case of sruke strake, according to the Rambam, that's the case of libun in the Mishnah in Chulin, which does not qualify as a shinui. And the Lecha Mishnah doesn't really give us too much of an insight as to why, according to the Rambam, sruke sruke or sarke sruke is a lower case kind of a shinui. And in this libun of sruke sruke, he's not kona. He's only kona in the case of niputz. I mean, from Rashi's perspective, that's counterintuitive. unless the Rambam is assuming that he does a very thorough job in Niputz, even though it's a handmade kind of thing. It's a what do they call it? A home kitchen? What do they call it? And in the case of the Masrik, you know, the Masrik is not enough of a job. For example, you may recall that we once discussed a woman's preparation for tefillah in a mikvah, and we discussed whether srika is enough to take out the knots of her hair. And there are many Rishonim of the opinion that to take a comb and just comb her hair is not sufficient, and we still have to be worried about chatzitza because there are knots in her hair when she goes to the mikvah, and she needs something called chafifas harosh. The Ashkenazic minog is to be very makpid on chafifa. If I'm not mistaken, there are Ashkenazic poskim who will tell a woman to go back to the mikvah a second time if she didn't do chafifa. And chafifa means to really shampoo the hair, you know, in a very profound way. You know, because sruke sruke with a masrik is not enough. On the other hand, when it comes to the Isur Nazir, the Gemara establishes that if a Nazir were to comb his hair with a masrik, then he violates an Isur Doraisa lav of removing his hair, because one of the three Isur of a Nazir is that he's not allowed to remove his hair. In any event, Rav Chiya has a different answer to this whole problem. Rav Chiya bar Avin Omar, ha dechavre chvure, ha dechavre kavure, meaning enochinami, there are different types of libud, one more profound than the other. But let's give an alternative to Rava, says Rav Chiya, and that is that the less profound libun in the Mishnah, which doesn't qualify as a shinui, is where he just changes the color of the tzemer, which is called kibus. Kibus means where he whitens it, right? But basically you have a kind of a grayish white in the natural state of the wool, but now he makes it bleached white. That's not considered a shinui, but the brisa that upgrades libun to shinui is talking about a more profound kind of bleaching process, which is called kabre kabure. And Rashi explains that what's kabre kabure? This is a very complex process. They used to take something called gofris, which I think in English is sulfur, if I'm not mistaken. And they used to heat up sulfur, and when you heat up sulfur, it gives off a kind of a steam. And that steam has a profound change in the wool. It's kind of like tuna fish, you know, when they put the tuna fish in the cans, and it's raw tuna fish, they run the cans through a steaming process. So there's boiling hot water in a gigantic vat, right, and the steam comes up, and that steam will cause the tuna fish, that's called talia bishel, to be cooked and make it edible. Whole shiloh, whether that's bishel akum. You familiar with this whole shiloh? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's tshuva? How can we eat tuna fish? It should be bishel akum. Because tuna fish in a can is already cooked. So the answer is that steaming, which is called ishun, does not qualify as bishel. But Rabbi Moshe points out that that's not necessarily a universal halacha. That's only as far as bishel akum is concerned. Because when the Chachamim instituted the gzeira of bishel akum, it was a very limited and circumscribed kind of gzeira. And any kind of shinui that changes, not shinui analysis, but I mean any kind of unusual cooking process. Like I was always wondering whether there's bishel akum according to Rabbi Moshe in a microwave. The problem is that I don't think Rav Moshe knew about microwaves. Did he? I don't know. When did the microwave come out in the market? I don't know.
They had early microwaves.
Yeah. Does Rav Moshe have any tshuvas about microwaves?
I don't know. They might have been.
There's so many issues in halacha with microwaves.
You're talking about an airline where they eat up your food.
But there it's already cooked, is it not?
You don't know, is it?
I think it's already cooked, like, you know, those meals that they get with the Hechsher of, what's that, see the Sherebbe, what's his name?
Hechsher Meir Rabbanan.
Any event here, Tosfos Dibra Maschil Ha adds a very important comment here. He says, V'travayu aliba de kuli alma. Let me try to see if I can make sense out of this line in Tosfos. I think it's a very important line. Tosfos wants to point out that according to Rav Chiya, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are l'divrei HaKol. Abaye and Rava were trying to work it out with Rav Shimon, with Rabbanon, and Rava was trying to say that both the Mishnah and the Braisa reflect the Shita of Rav Shimon, who says that I recognize Libun as a Shinui. The Chachamim never accepted Libun as a Shinui. Comes along Tosfos in Rav Chiya, and he says, where's Rav Chiya deviate in a radical way from Abaye and Rav that came before him? Rav Chiya wants to work out the Mishnah and the Braisa, the Mishnah and Chulin with our Braisa of Libun and Gzela, according to everybody, whether it's Rav Shimon or the Chachamim. And the answer is that according to Rav Chiya, in the case of Chivure Chavre, where he only bleaches it, that would not constitute a Shina even according to Rav Shimon. And the case of Kibuse Kavse, where he puts it over this, you know, the heat and the steam that's coming from the sulfur that's being burned, that radical change in the Tzemer is a Shini even according to the Chachamim. That's what I think he means when he says, Vitravayu aliba de kuli alma. Okay. Let's keep that in mind. Now the Gemara is not happy about Rav Shimon, because we just finished establishing that according to the Mishnah, the case of Shinui would be Libun. Okay. I'm sorry. I said the Mishnah, but what I meant was the Braisa. So let's go back to the Braisa at the beginning of the Gemara, which is line 10 or whatever, line 8 in on the page. The Braisa says the following. Eitzim vason kelim in, shifan lo. Correct? Urimini, and then let's fast forward to Rimini. Gazal Eitzim v'shifan, Avon v'situtan, Tzemer v'libnam. Okay? If he was malabing the Tzemer, then according to the Braisa, he was Kone v'shinui. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we had the second Braisa that we just had recently that records Machlok Shin Rav Shimon and the Chachamim about whether this tziruf between one Rachel and the other, if there was Libun in between. And Rav Shimon says that even in the case of Libun, there's no tziruf. Correct? Why? Because Libun itself qualifies as what? As a Shinui. Now wait a second. If Libun qualifies as a Shinui, then L'chora, how much more so Tzvia should qualify as a, right? Because, let me explain. If Libun, which only, shall I say, brightens up the color, the natural color of the wool, you know, makes it into a sharp white, you know, how shall I say, snow white, you know, that itself is a Shinui, then how much more so if he turned it into red or blue or yellow? So the Gemara says, Hashti yesh lomar tseva. I don't know if it's tseva l'Rav Shimon or tseva l'Rav Shimon. Tseva, I think tseva would be tseva l'Rav Shimon lo havi shinui, libun havi shinui. I'm about to prove to you that according to Rav Shimon, if he dyes it into a different color, it's not a shinui. How then could libun be a shinui? Disanya, we learned, gazas Rishon Utsvo, he shears off one by one, right? But before he gets to the last of the five, which is the shear of Chiyuv Reishis Hagez, he dyed one of them. Or another case is Rishon Utvo, Rishon Varago, is Ein Mitztarif. That's going to the Tanakama. It means that Tanakama holds that Tzvia is a Shinui. But Rav Shimon Yudo Mishum Rav Shimon, Tzva'o mitztarev, that tseva is not a shinui. And the Gemara is perplexed by this. How could it be that Libun, according to Rav Shimon, is a shinui, and that we saw twice, and yet here Rav Shimon is being quoted that tzva'o is not a shinui. Meaning, the Gemara postulates the following kal v'chomer. If Libun is a shinui, then how much more so tzva'o should be a shinui? In other words, Tzvia is a greater change, a more profound change than Libun. And how do we see this? Let's go back to the Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin says that Lo Hispik Litno Lo Ad She Tzvo, right? He had already been mafresh his reish sages, but he didn't give it over to the kohen, and then before doing so, he dyed it. Is potter, libno, is chayev. So the very premise of the Mishnah is that if you compare the change of Liban to that of Tzvir, Tzvir is a much more profound change. And yet, here we're saying in this Brisa, that according to Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, the name of Rab Shimon, Tzvir is not a Shinui, and yet Rab Shimon is holding that Liban is a Shinui. That's counterintuitive. Again, we've proved from the Mishnah in Chulin that Tzvir is a more radical and more profound Shinui than Libun, because if he was already Mafresh and he's got his Reishis, I guess, he's about to give it to the Kohen. If he subjects it to Libun, he's still Chayav. He hasn't changed. He wasn't Kohen of Shinui. If on the other hand he subjects it to Tzvir and he dies it, then he's Potter. So you see that Tzvir is more of a Shinui than Libun. Rav Shimon, we know, holds that Libun constitutes a Shinui. And yet, here's the Braisa that says that in the case where he started his shearing, and before he finished it, he was Tzovea, one of the Rechelos, is Rav Shimon says, nevertheless, he's Chayav in Reish Tzages, meaning that Tzvir is not a Shinui. How can it be possible that Tzvir is not a Shinui and Libun is a Shinui? Amar Abaye lo kasha, ha Rabbanan alibud Reb Shimon, v'ha Reb Shimon Yehuda alibud Reb Shimon. There are two traditions as to what Reb Shimon himself maintains. Until now, we've been seeing Reb Shimon as quoted straight away, which means the rabbis, the general consensus of the Chachamim, quoting Reb Shimon, maintains that Libun is a Shinui. And if Libun is a Shinui, then Kolshkein Tzvir would be a Shinui. But the second Braisa that says, no, Tzvir is not a Shinui. How much more so if Tzvir is not a Shinui, then Libun would not constitute a Shinui. That's already a different tradition. That's a tradition from Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda denied the whole concept of Libun as a Shinui. And not only did he deny Libun as a Shinui, he even denied Tzvi as a Shinui. Rav Amar li olam lo pligi rabbanan ale, the Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, there's no need to say that there are two different versions of Rav Yehuda. Everybody agrees that according to Rav Shimon, Libun is a Shinui, v'shayni tseva, and yet Tseva is less of a radical change and doesn't qualify as a Shinui, even though Libun would qualify as a Shinui. And the answer is what we discussed earlier about a Shinui Achoze Libriyoso. Can you reverse the process? So on the one hand, Tseva is a much more radical change than Libun. Libun, as we said, just whitens up the natural color of the wool. Tseva changes the color of the wool. But nevertheless, Shani Tseva Hoil V'Yochel Aviro Al Yedei Tzofon. In other words, it's a reversible Shinui. There is a process which can reverse the Tzvia, and that process will not help you by Libun. And this is something called Tzofon. Tzofon is a kind of, I don't know if anybody has a translation here, it's a kind of a soaping agent, a cleaning agent. And it has the ability to remove Tseva, to remove a dye.
Turpentine
is called?
No.
Oh, okay.
Economica.
What does he call it?
Economica. Because it's detergent.
Right, detergent. Okay, very good. That's a good word, a detergent. So there's something called tzofon. In Hebrew, he calls it a borit. Borit is that, you know, have you ever seen that stone that they use to whiten things? I don't know what it's got an English word for it, but I don't know what it is. Anyway, in Hebrew it's called a borit. What is it called?
Pomacycle.
Pomace.
Pomace.
How do you spell it? P-O-M-I-C-E?
P-U-M-I-C-E.
A pomace, right. So that's boris in Hebrew. Or tzofon in the Gemara's language. V'chik tani hasam. So what we saw in the Mishnah, that Tzvir is a much more radical change, and therefore if he was already mafrish his reish sages, and now he's subjected the wool to Tzvir, he's patur. is hasam. That case, kiktani hasam lo hispik litno lo achitzvo patu kimna kidriya kol bikola ilon. Kola ilon, my friends, is a sugi where? Where in Shas? The famous, famous sugi. Yeah, it's in Menachos, right? All the sugis of Tefillin and Tzitzis are in Menachos. And the Gemara says that back in the day, there were money-greedy people who tried to pawn off something as tcheles when it really wasn't genuine tcheles. They were able to produce a certain kind of dye and subject the wool to that dye and make it look like it was tcheles. It had the color of tcheles. That's called kola ilon. They actually took it from a certain tree called the kola tree, the kola ilon tree. And that kind of tseva, which is similar to tcheles, is the lo avar. You know, Matt, no matter how much pomace you use, you're not going to be able to remove that color of tcheles. So that's really interesting that the fakers, you know, that try to pawn off this kola ilon as tcheles when they dyed the wool and they wanted to sell it as tcheles tzitzis, you know, for tzitzis, they had such a strong dye, this kola ilon, they manufactured, there was such a chemical process that was irreversible. And that worked in favor of their ability to pawn this off, you know, because, you know, you see it's the real tcheles, right? But on the other hand, it works against the nigzal in favor of the gazlan, because this kola ilon is such an irreversible tzvia that a person could be kone, let's say, for example, in the case of Reishis Hagez, the Yisrael could be kone the Reishis Hagez through the dying of kola ilon, because that becomes irreversible. You can't get rid of that dye. The Boris and the Tzafon, all these kind of detergents will not help you in the case of Kola Ilon. It's a permanent dye. Okay, Rabosai, now the sugi gets really exciting. Okay? This is really the part of the sugi that I wanted to learn with you. Of course, we only have 15 minutes, but we'll try to do the best we can. And it's very rare that in a machlokas shina bai v'rova, the machlokas has such unbelievable repercussions. A bai comes with a certain methodology, and rova is gonna reject that methodology over and over and over again, all over the place. It's almost like we're taking a little bit of a tiul. You know, we're going out to see all of Shas here, and there's gonna be a fundamental machlokas here. Omar Abaye. Abaye says the following. I have a whole list of Tanoim that reject the concept of Shinui. Who's on the list? It's like a who's list amongst Tanoim. We've got Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Ube Shammai, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Yishmael. Each one in a different context. Kulo Svirle, they all, the common denominator that underlies them all is Shinui Bimkomo Omed. In other words, the Shinui does not effectuate any sort of change of ownership. The original owner is still in full possession of the object, even though the object was subject to Shinui, to some radical change. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Hodi Amoran. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, we've already had it right here in the name of Reb Shimon. And he was the one who said that despite the fact that he, the Yisrael, between one Rachel and another, one shearing and the other, he subjected this wool to a strong dye, right? A tseva. Nevertheless, he still mitztarev, you still integrate all the Rachelim, and he's chayev in Reishis Hagez. Now, Tosfos here, Divrei Maskil Rebbe, is of the opinion, all the way at the bottom of your page, that there was never a machlokas between Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, except in the case of tseva, because Reb Shimon ben Yehuda felt that tseva was reversible. But if it was a shinui gamur, like kola ilon, for example, or the classical cases of Ariga and Tzvia, then even Reb Shimon ben Yehuda would be moda that shinui is kone. How could Abaye possibly have listed, and he's first on the list, of those Tanom who rejected the concept of Kinyan Shinui, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Rav Shimon said it in the case of Tzvia, and the Gemara explained that the underlying logic of Rav Shimon is because that's not really a Shinui. All he has to do is take that wool that was dyed, put it into a pomace, what's it called again?
A pomace stone,
right? And he can clean it off and reverse the process. And based on this question, Tosus says a radical chiddush here, that Abai did not have in mind to equate all these tanoim and assume that each one of these five tanoim that he enumerates have the same exact shita, but rather what's common to these five tanoim is they all apply the principle of shinui bimkomo omed at some level. Some are minimalists and some are maximalists. In other words, the minimal application of Shinui Omeid Bimkomo is that of Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Rav Shimon Yehuda is only going to say it as far as Tseva is concerned. We're going to have more radical approaches to Shinui Bimkomo Omeid. But in any event, Tosfos undermines this whole equation of Abai. Abai never meant to make an equation between all these Tanoim. So, for example, we'll see in Beit Shammai that he's talking about a shinui that's eino chozer, correct? He you can't get the olives back once you made it into oil, once you crush the olives. And yet, according to Shammai, it still remains an esnan zona, despite that radical change that's a shinui sheino chozer. So we're not equating, says Tosus, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's tzvia in wool with Shammai's case of taking Zasim and making him into Shemen. Those are two different shitas. Because Rav Shimon ben Yehuda himself would admit that if you had a tzvia that was irreversible, like the case of Kol Elon, then Eino Chinami would be Konen in Gazlan, where Shammai is of the opinion that even if you have an irreversible shinui, nevertheless the Gazlan is not Konen. The Rashba doesn't like this. The Rashba wants to assume that according to Abaye, Rabbi Shimon, or let's say Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda to be more precise, denies the entire concept of shinui, even in the most radical shinui. Let's say you took tzemer and you made threads out of it, you spun it into threads, or you took the tzemer and you actually wove it as a garment. Even that would not constitute a shinui, and the Gaza would still be chayv to return the cloth or the threads, and he would not be Kona B'Shinui. Why did Rav Shimon ben Yehuda mention only the case of Tseva? Says the Rashba, that's a Chiddush. Even Tseva is not considered a Shinui. And how much more so Tzvia and Ariga. In other words, the Rashba is not working within the framework of let's subject the Tseva to Tzachon, right, to the reversible process. He's assuming that Tseva is an even more radical change than Tvia and Ariga. Okay, so number one on Abai's list is whom? Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. Who's number two? Beit Shammai. This is the parasha of Esnan Zona. Where do I find Esnan Zona? And 90% of all the mitzvahs in the Torah in Parshas Kitetze. Yeah, Kitetze is chock full of mitzvahs. So what does it say in Kitetze? It says, I'll quote the pasuk: Lo savi esnan zona mechir kelev beis Hashem elokecha. Payment for znus is not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach. Let's say, for example, he pays her with an animal, or he pays her with zaysim, or zaysim anovim, or what did I leave out? Or Soles, or Chitim, excuse me, right? All of these can be used for Menachos and for Niske Yayin. So we take, for example, the Chitim and we make it into Soles and we bring it as a Mincha. Or we take, for example, Zesim and we make it into Shemen, which could be part of a Lavona. Or we take the Anovim and convert it into Yayin. All these, says Beit Shammai, are Posel and Mizbeach with Torah Sestan Zona. Even though he gave to her what? Chitim, Zesim, or Anovim. Nosan lo Chitim ves Nona. Asan Solis, it was converted into a flower. Zaysim, he gave her olives, and it was Asan Shem converted into oil. That's called Mesikas HaZaysim. Or Anovim, and after you squeeze the grapes, that's called Betzira. Asan Yain, he made it into wine. And yet, Tani Chada Asur, Tani Idach Mutur, V'Omer of Yosef, Tani Gurion, and here we turn to Tani Dalet, Dimei Aspurk, Beit Shammai Osrim, you know, it's Beit Shammai say the status of the Esnan is maintained, and it's possible in Mizbech, even though now it's Soles, it's Shemen, it's Yayin, Ubeisil El Matir, and Beisil say no. It's no longer the same object that was given to the Zona as an Esnan. It's changed its identity. Panim Chadoshes Bolakan. So then it's Beis Hillel who accepts Shinui and Beit Shammai rejects Shinui. My time in the Beit Shammai, why did Beit Shammai draw this conclusion? The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, and we saw this Pasuk just a minute ago, Ki Soavas Hashem Elokecha Gam Shneem. And there's an extra word in this pasuk, gam, has nothing to do with harbona, but lerabos shinuyeh. It means that the Torah wants to give a ribu here that even after you change it into soles or into shemen or yayin, nevertheless it still is included in the soavas Hashem Elokecha, not to be brought on the mizbeach. Now I thought, when I saw this Gemara, that this becomes the exception to the rule, not the rule. Meaning, Beit Shammai is not telling you a universal halacha, and this is where Rav is going to disagree with Abai. What Rav is going to do, he has a different methodology than Abai. He's going to take apart each one of these five Tanoim and say that's a special halacha. That's the exception to the rule. How do I prove that Beit Shammai is an exception to the rule? What led Beit Shammai to the conclusion that Shinui b'Mekom HaOmed in the case of Esnan Zona? Not Svarah d'Nafshei, but what? It's a ribui. He had a pasuk gam shneim. So gam l'rabos shinuyeim. If not for the extra pasuk gam, he also would have been on board the Heshivs like Zeila Kain Shagazal. That's going to be Rava's objection. Beis Hillel, Amar Kra, Beis Hillel were of the opinion that in the pasuk it says gam shnehem, and the plural of shnehem is a ribui that's called amakra haim velo shinuyehem. Haim is a miut, them, they, and only they, or these and only these, velo shinuyehem. Ubeit Shammai haksiv haim. What is Beit Shammai going to do with the miut of haim to tell you that you can't bring That the psul of Esnan is limited to this case of the original object that he gave as Esnan, but not to the Shinui. Haksiv Haim is Hahu. What does he do with the word Haim? Is Miboile Haim Velo Vlado Seher. That if he gave her a cow and the cow gave birth, the calf is kosher l'mizbeach. And that's also a kind of halacha of Shinui, right? Because originally, in its first form, when it was given as an Esnan, it was a fetus. Now it's an entity unto itself. But yet, Beit Shammai is going to say that when you convert Chitim into Soles, it remains Esnan Zon Apostle, but when you convert the fetus into a live calf, it has a kashrus, it's kashrus l'mizbeach, maybe because there's a new being in the world, a new entity in the world. Beis Hillel, what is Beis Hillel going to do with Vlado Sehem? Tarte Shamet Mino. Notice he's going to use the word Haim, Haim Velo Shinuyehem, Haim Velo Vlado Sehem. That in two cases there's a Shinui. There's a Shinui if you convert it into a different substance, you make a solid into a liquid. And it's also a Shinui when you take a fetus and now what emerges is a viable being. Beis Hillel nami oksiv gam. What does Beis Hillel do with the word gam that's come to be marbe and expand the Iser of Esnan, so the psulim is beach? Is the Gemara says that, you know what? Gam le Beis Hillel is a kash. In any event, what we can summarize here is that it's machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai as far as Shinui is concerned. Beis Shammai hold that Shinu b'mkomo omeid, and even though the tzura, the very substance of the object, is changed and is panim chadosh, is nevertheless the chefetz remains halachically al pidin in the same status it did before the shinui, and therefore the psulim is beach in the case of esnan remains even after the shinui, and so too by process of analogy the gazlan would still have to return the original object according to Beit Shammai, even though it was subject to a shinui. The shinui is b'mkomo omen, it's not mafkir the chiyuv hashav. Beis Hillel on the other hand are of the opinion that once is a shini panim chadosh, it's a whole new entity, it's not included in the original esnan zona, and now it's kosher l'mizbeach, and the gazlan is kohen b'shinui, he no longer has an obligation to return the object. Alright, I'll try to fit in one more line here. I know I always get in trouble here. But Rabbi Lozman ben Yaakov, Mahi, that was number 3 on Abai's hit list. The sign of Rabbi Lozman ben Yaakov Omer, Haresha Gozal Sa'a Shalchita. We're talking about the mitzvah of Chala, correct? Tochana Losha. So now he grinds up the wheat, and he kneads it into a dough, and then he bakes it. V'hifrish imena challah, and he went ahead and he was mafrish challah. Is keitzad mevarech? How could he possibly make a bracha? Says Rebbe Eliezer. Ein zeh mevarech el menayitz. That's he's kind of like gidufim against Hashem to make a bracha on such a thing. Al zeh nemar botzea berech niyitz Hashem. A pasuk in Mishlei, a pasuk in Tehillim. So what does it come out? That according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, even though he's completely changed the original stolen object, it's no longer, you know, recognizable. What do you say?
Identifiable.
Nevertheless, if he makes a bracha on it, it's Nietz Hashem, because he's taking something that is stolen. Okay, Rabbi, so I wish everyone a great Shabbos, and Mirtz Hashem will continue next week.